The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Live from Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, Winfrey. It is SEC Media Days 2021. I am Chuck Oliver here doing our show all week. We'll also be coming to you live from Charlotte later in the week. Dan Matthews is going to be up there, but we'll be bringing you all the coaches' interviews, players you want to hear from, all of that, the 2 days. And a lot of that will be live on this show, as well as stuff that we put up on the website. You get the podcast, thepodcastpark.com. Go there, like, subscribe, do all of that stuff. Certainly appreciate everybody coming by in the first hour, including our good friend Heath Klein. Talk some South Carolina Gamecocks with Shane Beamer in the house, and also Graham Hall. Covers University of Florida, Gainesville Sun. The first hour also just heard from Coach Gene Chizik from the SEC Network. Normally we do headlines here, and we can get to, we'll update you, and I'll tell you about Alexander Chenard and Associates, and it's fantastic. And we do all of that stuff that we normally do scattered throughout the show, except this week with so much going on and so many guests. So you won't be getting your CFT 365. You won't be getting the formal closing argument. Dan, we're going to hear from Dan at some point?
Yeah, sure, maybe. Whenever you want to. I'm here.
But coming up in this hour, see, we got choices. We got Richard Cross. We got Matt Moscone coming up as well. So a lot of the elements you're used to hearing, they will be back as we get through the end of this week, returning to our normal schedule next week. Right now, though, I want to talk a little bit more about the South Carolina Gamecocks. And, again, with Shane Beamer being here, there is no hiding when you have issues at three spots. And one of those spots, it's going to kind of blow your mind a little bit when you think about it, but one of those spots that you can at least most cover up is quarterback. The three spots where I say there's no running and hiding, offensive line, defensive line, and quarterback. Quarterback, here is the way that you survive when you've got a situation that's just not working for you, quarterback. And I'm not trying to be too critical or critical in anticipation before Luke Doty's even taken the field. But you can coach around limitations of a quarterback. You can. And Luke Doty, again, I think is a four-star prospect, and he got an SEC, multiple SEC schools making him offers, and he's now started as a true freshman, and he'll be a redshirt this year with two starts under his belt. Luke Doty has a lot of talent, but when you start talking about his ability to pressure defenses downfield, it is more important than ever. Because even when every offense seemed to be about 70% run base and you would have a massive humanity in the middle of the field, here's the big difference between 10, 15, 20 years ago, the realization that we have 6'5", 260-pound guys that can run in the high 4.5s. All right, go look at, who is it, Micah Parsons, the linebacker out of Penn State? Go look at the number he posted pre-draft in his 40. Giant humans flying around is why teams run the ball so much less now. And that was one of the big ways to coach around limitations of your quarterback, have him hand the ball off, carry out his fake. On an unsuspecting down and distance, which honestly back in the day might be like a second and six, ran the ball for 4 yards on first down. Let's run it for four more, third and two, four more. That's a first down. Throwing it on unsuspecting down and distances, that's how you could survive. Not anymore. You got to back people off the line of scrimmage. You got to show them that you can introduce that risk part into their, well, we're going to blitz, or we're going to crowd the line, or we're going to jam receivers. That's risk reward, but we feel, yeah, put the risk in there for them. That's what Luke Doty has to do. And again, quarterbacks, if this was, especially about going back about 10 years ago, you could limit his role in the game. Offensive line, defensive line, there's no way to do it. And good for South Carolina that those two position groups they can compete in the SEC as far as caliber of the line, offensive line, absolutely. Defensive line, they may have one of the three or four best and deepest and most talented. Every measuring stick you have. I don't know that they got a 9.5 sack guy, but they've got probably 9 guys they feel good about having in SEC competition. All right, that they can roll with. The offensive line, plenty good enough. The quarterback, as you go through this season, which unfortunately for them really kicks off in week 3, after you get 2 weeks full of game tape, if he hasn't proven that he can back those people off the line of scrimmage, it is going to be a tough, tough afternoon against the University of Georgia. No doubt about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back next. Talk a little Ole Miss with my good friend Richard Cross.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Live from SEC Media Days 2021. Hi, everyone. Winfrey in Hoover, Alabama. And tomorrow will be one of the highlights. And believe it or not, just for us, not for the guy involved, Lane Kiffin from Ole Miss, he will be here tomorrow. And this is what I've always said. I want to welcome on now a good friend of ours going way back from the SEC Network, Sidelines, the Ole Miss radio broadcast, guy who knows Rebel football about as good as you can. It is Richard Cross. Richard, how are you?
We do go a long way back, don't we?
Yeah, we shared makeup. I mean, that you share makeup with a dude, then that kind of takes the relationship
to the next level. Shared is using that term loosely. I'm not sure we use the same powder.
No. We gave, I have NW35. He's like, I'm a 40, dude. I can't help you. Back when we used to do TV together. So let's talk about Lane Kiffin because I've said.
I'm well, by the way. Thanks for asking.
Oh, yes.
Hope you are also.
I am.
It's good to be here.
It's good to be back here and have everyone else here and not just be, because I was here last year, but it was on a Zoom screen or a Skype stream. It was awful stuff. Here's a contradiction with Lane Kiffin. I think he's really good talking to boosters on the Rebel road trip with the media, and certainly on Twitter is where he, you know, really shines. I don't think he really likes doing all that, though. I think it's a flip he can switch. I think that's true for a lot of coaches, but with Lane, we see how funny he can be, and we think, oh, he's so good with the media. He has to flip that switch, though.
Yeah, and he flips it with national people. He doesn't flip it with local people. He does very few local interviews. He's been on the show with us a couple of times in the year and a half that he's been there. I mean, I've interviewed him a lot because of my work on the sidelines, pregame, postgame. It even took a while for him to kind of loosen up in that scenario. You think about this weird year and a half that we've been in where there was no spring practice and there was no spring game. And so the first time I had any interaction with Lane Kiffin outside of his opening press conference was when Ole Miss hosted Florida on opening day last year. And he just walks up and he's supposed to do a pregame interview with me. It's like, hey, I'm Richard. I'll do this every game this year.
And we'll put, hi, I'm Lane.
Yeah,
like, yes, I know.
And we'll talk at halftime. And then we'll talk after the game as well. So that's 30 conversations that we're going to have. And the first one was very – It was weird and tense, and it got better along the way. But, no, I mean, look, if we're just ripping the Band-Aid off here, Lane Kiffin knows that he doesn't need local media. he needs national media because he's trying to sell his program at a national level. And that's why if he does an interview with the guys at Barstool, or if he goes on Dan Patrick's show, or he's on with, you know, Paul Feinbaum, whatever the name is that is at a national level, you get that loose, jovial, funny, witty Lane Kiffin because he's selling something. At a local level, he's doing it because he knows he's supposed to do it. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I mean, it might be a little frustrating sometimes because you're just trying to do your job and be fair. The only time I think that gets you into trouble is if things don't go well. As long as you're winning and things go well, you're good. But if things don't go well, you start looking around and you need some help and you need some friends and you realize that there's nobody around.
Continuing with Richard Cross from the SEC Network. Sidelines, as he said, from the Ole Miss radio broadcast. Let's talk recruiting a little bit because Matt Corral, you know, he's a West Coast guy and they're all coming east anyway in huge numbers. So he's going to go to Florida. He wants to throw the ball. Now I'm going to go to Ole Miss. I want to throw the ball. All right, that's great. You get the D tackle out of, was it Philadelphia or D.C.? This Malone, the past cycle?
Oh, yeah, Ty Malone. Baseball player also.
But there's a backstory, the reason he's coming to Ole Miss. You know, how'd you get this four-star out of D.C.? Put aside the context and the exceptions and the explanations, is Ole Miss actually kind of pushing the borders of what they recruit?
They are a little bit. And you've got to have a coach that's really comfortable doing that. Here's the thing. Lane Kiffin has built a staff that's really, really good. And I know there was some change in the offseason. The Randy Clements offensive line coach goes away. That was strange. And then he went and he brought a really young guy who had been either a graduate assistant or an analyst or something like that at Alabama and taken one step since then. And people had looked at him and said, oh, he's going to be a star. Well, he's not there yet. Well, if he was there already, you're probably not bringing him to Ole Miss as an offensive line coach. But because Lane Kiffin sees somebody like that on an ascendancy, I think he can look at where Ole Miss is and go, you know what, I can get that guy right now. And we're not going to keep him forever because he is ascending, and he's going to show that here, and it's going to be even helpful to him there. I think Lane's pretty good recruiting-wise once he gets one-on-one, but he has put together a staff that is really good. Jeff Lebby, offensive coordinator, so you're thinking quarterbacks. He's the one that went and identified, based on a camp setting, this offensive lineman with the funny name out of Houston, Texas. Ole Miss has done well at times with kids from Texas, but some of that went away. I mean, say what you want. I'm going to be the last person on planet Earth to defend Hugh Freeze, but he was not afraid to cast a wide net and say, Ole Miss is good enough. Ole Miss has got enough cachet that we can go get a kid from California, that we can go get kids from Texas and Florida and, you know, wherever else. You can talk about tactics, whatever. I mean, it's not my thing. Matt Luke didn't do it that way. They focused on Mississippi. It was a different philosophy. Lane Kiffin doesn't care where the borders of the state are. He wants to win football games. And so if there's some kids that are elite in Mississippi, they're going to try and get them. Aside from that, they're going to get kids wherever they can where they think they're players that can play at a really high level. I'll put a bow on this, and it's not exactly the same conversation, but last year, after Ole Miss played really well against Alabama, offensively. Didn't play well at all defensively. Offensively, played really, really well.
6 yards or 8 yards that they gave up every yard possible except maybe six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still had a chance to win the football
they
game
did.
With 8 minutes to go. And Ole Miss is walking off the field, and Lane Kiffin gets a standing ovation from the crowd that's there. And he was like, I mean, thanks. He's like, thanks, I guess, but we didn't come here to lose. We didn't come here to be within one score with 8 minutes to go. The job's to win here. And so, I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and thanks for what you're saying, but no thanks.
Pretty pinball machine tonight, but we lost.
Yeah.
Wrapping up with Richard Cross, again, SEC Network, and Super Talk Mississippi all throughout the state, and the sidelines, the Ole Miss radio broadcast. You mentioned Jeff Lebby there. See, I know about the DCs, and I know they're really good coaches.
Yeah.
Most people, here's the funny thing, most people don't know much about Jeff Lebby.
They're going to.
When is he not the Ole Miss OC anymore? Like maybe December?
Well, if Gus had not taken the UCF job, he would not be there now.
Okay, because that's his history, right? He's got, yeah.
It's my understanding, and I think South Alabama made a great hire with Kane Womack. I think he's going to do a fantastic job. It's my understanding that that could have been Jeff Lebby's job if he had wanted it.
He decided OC at Ole Miss was...
I mean, I think so, and got a nice bump. I mean, that's a seven-figure gig, and he's got a potentially All-American quarterback and an offense that's going to put up a bunch of yards, and
he's
it's going to be
better
really
his
attractive.
Resume over the next 12 games.
There's no question. And so I think decided it was time, or that it was not the right time to make a move. Now, again, there's some people at UCF that really, really liked Jeff Lebby. He had a great reputation while he was there, and had that opportunity presented itself, you go running. I mean, your first head coaching job is UCF with kind of what they've established. No question. Didn't get that opportunity. UCF goes with Gus. We'll see how that works out. I tend to think that Jeff Lebby would do a better job developing quarterbacks at UCF than Gus is going to do. I don't know how that translates into wins.
Oh, there's a conversation you and I could have about that. There's literally not a single quarterback who Gus has ever gotten out of high school who has ever gotten better.
Right. I'm not sure he's ever gotten a transfer that got better. Stidham went down.
I don't know. I got to say between spring practice and the Heisman ceremony, I think Cam got better. I think that because in the spring he did practically nothing, and then he scored 50 touchdowns in the season. So I would say from spring to the season he got better. But beyond that, that's all I got for you, man.
Yeah.
Nick Marshall, in fact, you're right about because, you know, remember the story with Nick Marshall? He showed up without a spring, and it was like eight practices into August, and he's like, all right, he's the quarterback. So he was as good 8 days in as he got after 2 years. You're 100% right about that, but continue with Lebby.
Well, I think his future is really, really bright. I think Lane Kiffin is the best play caller. I think he and Steve Sarkisian are the two most gifted play callers in terms of feel for a game in college football right now. I think Jeff Lebby is learning some of that from Lane Kiffin, but I think also he's got a really good rapport with the other offensive coaches not named Lane Kiffin. I think he has a good I'm saying his relationship with Lane Kiffin is fine. I'm saying his rapport with the rest of the guys in that offensive staff room is good. I think he's got a really good feel for the game and does a really good job from a scheming standpoint. He is a bright rising star in college football.
Last question for you. Matt Luke, I think Oxford was the end of the rainbow for him. Like if he could pick his I'm Ole Miss head coach, and that's great. Ole Miss is not the final spot in most coaches' minds, though.
Yeah.
Talk about Lane and his gray matter and what may be swirling around there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's been all of one season.
Sure. I mean, he's been pretty candid about that, pretty guarded about that. Here's what I think. I think that he's happier than maybe people give credit for, but I do think his name will pop up for big jobs every single year because I think he likes to play that game, and I know Jimmy Sexton likes to play that game.
Well, I should be told he's pretty.
And paid well.
And people want me. And yeah. I could go back to the NFL or I could go to this other school.
And can I get a raise?
Absolutely. I mean, that is time-tested in the SEC, and no doubt about it. You get your name out there a little bit around SEC Championship weekend, and then you get an extra year added on and 200 grand extra. Richard Cross, appreciate time as always,
and if you keep winning, they'll keep paying you and keep telling you you're pretty.
And adding another year,
That's right. It
all winds up being your own end of the rainbow. Appreciate the time, brother,
Thanks, bud.
And I'll see you a little down the road.
Sounds good.
All right. Richard Cross again from SEC Network and Super Talk Mississippi Network and also the sidelines of the Ole Miss radio broadcast. And so it's just one of those things you don't want to disrespect fans by saying – and this one – you don't want to disrespect fans by talking about your coach leaving for a better job. There aren't any better jobs. Mm-mm. No. The disrespecting fans – is talking to an Ole Miss fan and saying, oh, yeah, you're going to keep Lane. He's happy there. Ole Miss has never been the final spot for a head coach. For Matt Luke, it could have been. For a guy who has options, Ole Miss has never been the ultimate choice. And so that's just the reality of what that job is.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. 9 states, 51 sticks, dealing it out for 2 hours a day. And this week, live from Hoover, Alabama, the Hyatt Winfrey. I got my Hyatt points over the years. Ain't no doubt about that. Want to welcome on a good friend of mine from 104.5 out yonder in Baton Rouge, as well as Alexandria, as well as throughout the state on CSTV. It's my good buddy, Matt Moscona. Matt, how are you, man?
The king. It is so good to see you in person. I got bad news, though, as Dan shared with me.
Oh,
our dinner spot. It's closed.
Permanently.
Yeah. COVID killed the Ruby Tuesdays.
Okay, see, that was my thought. I tweeted out a picture of it with the, you know, the soaped over windows and all that. The consensus on Twitter was, no, might not have been the pandemic to shut it down. I've heard your friend Matt talking about it. I was like, well, Moscona just has a negative attitude as well. CBS Sports has labeled Ed Orgeron. He is the SEC coach most on the hot seat. If there ain't a body in the trunk, he's not getting fired this year. There is too much talent on that team for any amount of realistic scenario to happen. Like, they can't go 4-8 this year. Tell me what you think about Ed Orgeron, the, quote, hot seat.
So with respect to the SEC, you got 8 new coaches, right? We're here.
Yeah.
4 second year, 4 first year.
Then but 8 have never been in this.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess the caveat is Kiffin came 1 year with Tennessee, but to your point,
yes.
Saban, Mullen, Kirby, they're all good. Stoops is good. So it kind of just leaves Ed, right? The thing I'll tell you, Chuck, is I think remember a few factors that are at play. Number one, Ed's working for an AD that didn't hire him. So that's always
not my guy.
That's always part of it. We know that just in this profession. Number two, there is a federal Title IX lawsuit going on involving LSU, and Ed Orgeron is interwoven in that. That is undeniable. It is ugly. The more people I've talked to here today, I keep getting this, oh, really? Look, like, it's a massive story that most people outside of that little bubble aren't paying attention to.
Can I tell you what happened? Because this happened to me, and I do this. I mean, college football, I'll do it all day, every day. I'm not trying to be a wiseacre here. I started losing track of the lawsuits.
Yeah.
And I had to remind people, I was like, no. You're talking about something completely different. There are multiple lawsuits going on. And so whether you're talking about the lady that was offended standing near the tunnel in the Sugar Bowl,
right.
That's not the same thing, folks. We got multiple cases going on.
Right.
And so they may have read one as, oh, no, Les is part of that, or is that Ed?
Right. It is far-reaching. I'm not going to, like, bore everybody with all the details, but understand you had a federal Title IX lawsuit going on. You've got a coach that went 5-5 a year ago, made some awful hires, acknowledged publicly that he didn't interview the people he hired.
My gosh, I can't believe he – stop talking, brother.
Yes. So it's a mountain, Chuck. So to say – Ed's not getting fired this year, I just flatly disagree. Like, to think that it's not a possibility. Based on the severity of what may come of Title IX, regardless of what happens on the field, it could happen. It's very much in play. And I'm going to tell you, man, someone asked me earlier, what's a number? 9. You want to feel safe, you better win 9.
Then, to me, that means it is a wildly different environment on the campus at Baton Rouge, because the Les Miles, when all the Les Miles details came out, you know what it told me? We don't fire you at LSU for sexual assault or burying stories. We fire you because you lose to Auburn in week 4. You start, was it 2-2? In 2016?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't fire you for Title IX federal lawsuits and rape allegations against players and all that. We fire you because you start 2-2. It means that there has been enough of a light shined on their decisions that they're going to go hard the other way.
And they had a chance as soon as when the allegations came out, LSU hired a law firm, Hush Blackwell, to conduct the independent investigation. The investigation's complete. They shine a light on all the gory details. The president of the university, all the board of supervisors have this big, long meeting, and their punishments were, we're going to hire some new HR people, yep. And two people are going to be suspended for about 30 days.
And one guy can't go to games.
That's it. Well, that came later, after the first punishment wasn't enough.
Okay.
Right, that was adding on, right? Oh, well, is this enough? Is this enough? Is this enough? That's kind of where it is. But the more, Chuck, the more, I know it's media days and people want to talk about football, but like, this is an unavoidable part of the LSU story this year. It just is. And I'm only going this far with it because you said the thought was that, you know, Ed's not getting fired this year unless you win four. And they're going to win more than four. I'm telling you, it's serious enough to where, regardless of what they do on the field, it could meet that end. It's Art Briles. It's Joe Paterno. You're talking potentially about one of those, Chuck. Like, the more people learn about this, you're looking at something that's potentially that.
Then you're going to have ropes and tentacles and roots and all kinds of things going right around Ed Orgeron's ankles and calves and thighs and going. I mean, he has to be immersed in this for that to be the outcome, in my opinion.
He is. I mean, he and his personal LLC are listed as defendants in multiple lawsuits. I mean, the allegations that are out there, Chuck, are that women were accusing players of rape, and the coaching staff and administrators were not properly reporting it. They were making the victims to feel like they were at fault.
Which is another thing I've said, that Drake Davis and Darius Geis, those are also separate things.
Yes.
Because, oh, well, wasn't her story this? I'm like, no. That was the volleyball player or whoever was dating Drake Davis. Continuing with Matt Moscona, well, talk on a personal level because, I mean, you know, we all went somewhere. And I've got an alma mater. And there are times, yeah, I just look at it and go, oh, you look at your alma mater. I mean, talk about it right now. It's an unpleasant subject. But
there's been nobody more vocal in Baton Rouge than me, Chuck. It's just – I don't give money to LSU football. I give money to LSU, to the Manship School. I'm a very proud alum. I love LSU.
Yeah.
It's part of who I am, just like anybody who graduated from anywhere, and it's part of the fabric of you and help mold you into what you are in some point. And I love my alma mater. It's absolutely abhorrent that the leadership, not only in the football program, but then the athletic department and the university as a whole. Hey, Chuck, you got a guy in the Department of Student Affairs that's listed in that Hush Blackwell report 45 times. No punishment whatsoever. None. Like, literally, it's literally written in this report, Chuck, that the head of the Department of Student Affairs, there was a young lady student who came forward with a rape allegation, and he started questioning her to the likes of, well, what were you wearing that night? I mean, this is in the report. Like, it's... whatever adjective you could come up that would be a synonym of disgusting, or it's all of them apply.
Yeah, and I've said that, you know, the Baylor stuff, that Penn State was its own thing, because Baylor, it was actually in pursuit of on-field excellence.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's really what it was at Penn State. That's the overlap with me at LSU. It was about keeping that running back on the field or keeping that wide receiver eligible or whatever. Wrapping up, Matt Moscona, again, from 104.5 out in Baton Rouge and the entire state of Louisiana. Well, let's talk about the players that are bringing Austin Deculus.
Let's talk football.
Yeah, Stingley. Tell me the best thing folks are going to find out about Austin Deculus.
I'm a little surprised they brought Austin, quite honestly.
Is it a bone, a reward?
Maybe so. As a fifth-year guy, you know, he's been a four-year starter. He's been an anchor at right tackle. I think if he plays at the next level, he's more of an interior player. He struggles some in pass blocking. But, you know, Austin is a mountain of a man who has been through the ebbs and flows. I mean, he was there when they lost to Troy. He was there when they won the national championship. He was there for what 2020 was, and now he's going to try to be part of this rebuild again. So you have a guy with an amazing perspective of the highs and lows of the entire Ed Orgeron era.
how much more sound and in the right place, and how much more of an ability to pivot will we see on defense this year?
I think,
and some of this is projection on your part,
right? I think, okay, LSU's played football since 1893. Last year was literally the worst defense they ever had. They allowed 34 points per game. It was literally the worst ever. I mean, Chuck, it can't be worse, because it would have to be, again, literally the worst ever. Defensively, they've got some really good players at every level. I think their defensive line...
deep, too.
They are deep. They got their all four starters back, and I think they like some of the young talent they have. Brought in Mike Jones, a Clemson transfer at linebacker, who's going to be a starter. They brought in Major Burns from Georgia, who's going to start at safety. They recognized where they were weak, and they supplemented with the transfer portal. They can't be worse. If the whole key to this season for LSU is you bring in Jake Peets to make the offense hum, it's not going to be 2019. You're not going to have Joe Burrow throw for 60 touchdown passes. But if you can go score 32, 35 a game, and your defense can just not be the worst ever, you're going to have a chance to win every game.
Flip it around, and I want to ask you about we've talked about Emery, and we've talked about all the running backs, the guys, Ty Davis, Bryce, we know them all. We had talked about the freshmen. There are a couple of freshmen there, and they have different skill sets, especially Armani Goodwin looks like a really fun player.
Yeah.
Are there specific roles, at least for four games, that maybe these young guys may get some run?
I think this is as wide open as I've ever seen the running back room at LSU. We could go back to Kevin Faulk, and I could name running back, running back, running back. Rondell Mealy or LeBrandon Tofield or Dominic Davis. I could go through them all, and I could mention Jacob Hester and Joe Addai and guys that were first-round draft picks, all the way up through Leonard Fournette and Jeremy Hill and
you are not
Darius
getting a Christmas card from Chyron Carey.
But you know my point. Like, they've always had running backs. Chuck, there's nobody on this team that's proven anything at running back. I mean, people ask me all the time who's going to – and I legitimately don't – now –
see, I'm used to Keelan Williams averaging 7 yards a carry running third team.
Yes, and you're like, why aren't they giving the ball to Keelan? Bingo. Don't tell that to Hester, by the way, when he's here later. He's still sour about that. But they have bodies, but none of which have shown or flashed anything. So if you really want to be 2019 LSU again, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the big pleasant surprise of that year, who became a first-round draft pick. Now, nobody going into that season thought Clyde would be what he became. So that might be what they're banking on here. Someone that they're not expecting to have a big season has a big season, but someone's got to. And I'd throw a dart if it were me. I'd give you John Emery because he's a veteran guy, and I like his versatile skill set, but I don't know.
Last thing for you. What is the goal, the real goal? LSU, it's a championship program. Our goal is to win titles, sure. What's the goal this year on the field?
I think 9 wins and be back.
That's entry level for LSU, by the way, for me. In my mindset, a 9-win LSU team, I'm like, okay, that's the bare minimum I want from that team.
I would say here's what's realistic. You get to 9, you get in the New Year's 6 like you did in 2018.
Fiesta.
Play the Fiesta Bowl. I think the similarities with this team and 2018 are almost identical. I mean, the parallels are there. And while that's not the championship season people in Baton Rouge hope for or expect, if you get to that level, you prove 2020 was a one-off. And then you continue to supplement the way they have in recruiting. 2022, Chuck, when you and I are sitting here next year, God willing, talking about this, that's the team with all the guys that were freshmen last year, Kayshawn Boutte, Elias Ricks, Coy Moore, Max Johnson. When all those guys are juniors, that's when you go, okay, that could be the team that could make a run for a title. This team, I don't think, is ready, but they need to be the team that really gets the ball rolling in the positive direction.
I think that come December, we're going to have a whole lot more evidence in one column for him. Okay, like it was just COVID or bad Bo Pelini or who. It was just 2020.
Yeah.
Or maybe it wasn't COVID and Bo Pelini. I think we're going to have one category stocked more than the other. Matt, I always appreciate your time, man.
You got it,
Thanks for coming down the aisle.
Thanks.
It is Matt Moscona from 104.5 Baton Rouge, also CSTV throughout the state of Louisiana, and all points in between. Going to take a break, come back, wrap up on a Monday next.
The
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Wrapping up from SEC Media Days on a Monday, it is the Chuck Oliver Show live from High Winfrey, Hoover, Alabama. Have had a good day so far, and again, coaches to come. I believe we're getting Shane Beamer a little later in the afternoon, as well as chasing everybody else. Want to certainly welcome Heath Klein sitting down with us, Richard Cross talking Ole Miss. They are here tomorrow. And Matt Moscona, who covers LSU and does it every day, covers the whole conference and all college football, but LSU is his jam, as the kids say. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that right now, my closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
CBS Sports, as came out last week, Ed Orgeron, the SEC coach, most on the hot seat. And we were just talking about that to begin the show, and then also with Moscona. And Dan, you're welcome to jump in as well, just a couple of minutes here, and I want to get your take on this. I'd said that there has to – that it could only be off-field issues, that there is not a single coach in the SEC that is going to be terminated at the end of this year for on-field performance. And when it comes to Ed Orgeron, by far – I mean, times 10 – and that's literal, folks, times 10. He is facing more questions about off-field concerns, and it goes far more than the words we use in these times. It's a concern. It was an incident. It's far past all of that. And that is off-field. As far as the on-field performance of the Tigers, you look at that depth chart, you look at the returning talent, and the assumption that it absolutely – it's not that it can't be worse – I know that it won't be worse on defense. In fact, I expect it to be a whole lot better. You're talking about a defense with the talent to at least be top 15, maybe top 20 at the worst. If they go anywhere close to performing that way on the field, you're talking about a big bounce back, because I think they're like everybody else in college football. Just the rules, the pace of play, the style, the play calling, etc. You're going to get some offense. You're going to light up the scoreboard some, and especially when you have talent like LSU does. The rules and how the game was played helps you so much on offense. You stack that kind of talent class after class after class, the offense is going to be fine. You're going to get a lot of improvement on defense. I asked Moscona, what's entry level for this team? What's the bare minimum? He said, I think you're maybe looking at like a 9-3 as a result for this year's team. That's plenty enough for Ed Orgeron to navigate these waters. As has been stated, his name is listed X number of times in all of the allegations. They still, at this point, are allegations. When he hits the podium, the big room is going to have a lot of questions to answer. But again, I'm talking on-field performance, and LSU is just too talented for that to be the reason. I wasn't being flippant about it. I said it may take something like a body in a trunk, something just along that line of being that serious. And according to some of the allegations, it would check the box. Again, you got to see that play out in the legal realm for it to have the kind of importance that we're talking about, somebody losing his job. That is my closing argument, brought by the law offices of Alexander Shannara and Associates. No matter where you are in the Deep South, it could be Florida or Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, wherever. If you need legal expertise, you need Alexander Shannara and Associates. Dan Matthews, how you doing?
Well, and I want to take it actually a step further, because I want to lay out a scenario where that could become a reality. Week one of this season, Billy Napier and the Louisiana Raging Cajuns go to Austin and take on Steve Sarkisian in Texas. Raging Cajuns win that game. They come back flying high. They're one of the hottest teams in college football after the first week of the season. Ed Orgeron takes his team out to Los Angeles and they lose to UCLA, or it's one of those scrappy ones to the end and they just barely pull it out. It's kind of one of those where you come out of that game and you say, yeah, that almost kind of feels like a loss. Can you imagine the pressure that's going to be on him after week one, Chuck, if that happens this year? Because if Louisiana is able to have the season that they have down in Lafayette, then you're going to have people in Baton Rouge who are looking just an hour and a half up the road on I-10 saying, why can't they do that right there with that guy who learned under a really good guy at Alabama and Nick Saban? He can recruit to there. He can develop. He can do all of those different types of things. Now, I get it. We're just a couple of years removed from a national championship. But I think that within the LSU fan base, there is, when you get past the, hey, he's a Southern Louisiana guy, we love him, he represents us, he does all these different types of things, I think there is a part of the fan base that says, you know what, it would be nice for all of the talent and for all of the accolades that we have had here at this school, that people could say, yeah, pretty good coach too, because as of right now, that doesn't necessarily come Ed Orgeron's way, fair or not.
Agree with you there, and of those scenarios, this is the weird thing. LSU losing to UCLA, that's going to be on LSU. I don't think UCLA is good enough to be responsible for that dub. Can't believe I'm saying this. Louisiana Lafayette, they're absolutely good enough to take care of Texas, even on the road in week one. That's a team that plays defense. They take care of the football. They got grown men all over it. They're well coached. They have continuity on the coaching staff. How is it possible? It's far more realistic for Louisiana to beat Texas than it is for UCLA to beat LSU.
No, I mean, and that's the way it should be, at least, because, I mean, you've said it numerous times this offseason. Chip Kelly hasn't won a non-conference game at UCLA, and that's one of those, how the hell can that even be remotely possible? But if you – this would be a bad time to be number one for him. And, you know, the other part of it as well is that we've seen how Ed Orgeron can react when the wolf is at the door. Chuck, us and everybody heading into SEC Media Days, and believe it was 2018. It was 2018. We're heading into that year. Number one, who's your quarterback coach? Number two, are you worried about getting fired after getting the job full-time and you're just entering your first season? And a lot of people thought going into that season, number one, they were just going to get absolutely smacked by Mark Richt and by Miami. That didn't happen. A few weeks later, Georgia comes to town and you're thinking, okay, yeah, you got a nice little win early on in the season. You lost to Florida last week. It looks like the wheels are going to start coming off for you. And they came out there and they took care of business that day. And I feel like, Chuck, that was the turning point of that 2018 season. And credit needs to go to Ed Orgeron, because I don't believe if they don't have that strong season in 2018 that culminated with them going to the Fiesta Bowl and beating UCF, they don't have the national title season the following year. So it just shows the pressure is of the job, not only at LSU, but also being one of the top dogs in the SEC. You got to be able to do it every year and not have 5-5 seasons.
Yeah, it's just it's highlighting the strangeness of the expectations this year, that it's almost like you want UCLA to beat Hawaii in week one so they'll get that non-conference monkey off their back. It's almost like, you know, you want Texas to beat Louisiana so that you don't have that cross-state comparison. I mean, if I'm LSU, I shouldn't be concerned with a Hawaii game or a Louisiana Lafayette game. And there are real reasons to kind of connect those dots. All right, wraps it up on a Monday, folks. 22 hours from now, be right back live from SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.